Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight we'll be looking at a study on forgiveness. And let's look at that. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. I think of to our fellowship here over the years, the faithful teaching of your word, and that you care for all of us, each and every one of us, from our kids in the nursery to the servants in the nursery, from the children's ministry through every ministry from behind the scenes, the audio, the media, the ushers. You're so faithful to your people, Lord. You're faithful to our life and our families, and we ask that you would just pour out your spirit yet again, that Jesus Christ might be glorified in this place and in our lives and whatever you have for us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So the topic given to me is forgiveness. And you can do a 40-part study on forgiveness. I was so overwhelmed with, there's so many passages, there's so many thoughts, and so a couple weeks I've been, working and then just thinking and working and thinking and working and kind of getting locked into that. And I just got overwhelmed with, there's so much to say about forgiveness. And the Lord just said, everything is based off of forgiveness. You wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't be praising the Lord, none of us, if it wasn't worth for God sending his son to forgive us of our sins. So many times, and as Christians, we forget about that. That somebody died so we might live. We think, oh yeah, Jesus died. Oh yeah, I understand. Oh, he went to the cross, suffered. Yeah, oh yeah, he rose again from the dead. Yeah, and all this. And again, it could be so distant from me. And then I wonder why I have drama with people that I relate with, especially when it comes to marriage and family. We hurt the ones we love, we say we love the most. Easy to forgive other people on the peripheral, the acquaintance. Hey, what's up, brother? How are you? This and that, But when you get hurt by somebody that you have given your life to, and all this awesome teaching that we've been going over, marriage and family, because every culture, every society, you know how it is, whether you be in, a Tokelauan, or whether you be from Micronesia or Samoa or Siberia, you look at anywhere in the world, right? A group of people is only as strong as a family unit is, as the community. And of course, we look at our society today. How come all the hatred and drama and all this? But even in our own lives, and we can boil it down to this, is unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, all that kind of stuff. And you know what? It's in you and I. We can hear the great teachings. I've been so blessed through Pastor Jake the last 2 weeks. Pastor Ruben has blew me away. Pastor Anthony, Pastor Fabian, Pastor Bill. And, the heart of, Pastor Bill and the staff is that we would have strong families within this church, right? Because when you go out into the world, we are God's salt and light. That's how God, he chooses to use us to bring others to himself. And Satan knows that. And so you wonder why. How come the church and Christians that they say they have all this forgiveness, all this joy, they're going to heaven, but when you look at in their life on a day-to-day basis, or you look in their families or whatever, it's like, hey, they get just as much drama over there at that house, at James's house, as they do at my house. In fact, they get more drama. They saw the police come over there and all that. Once in a while they come, but we can I help? I get a little bit loud in the flesh, but no, but you can. Right? Because you can know the word of God in theory. We sit here, go, oh yeah, awesome, right on, best message. Or you heard this podcast, or this pastor, or you read this book. And then you go home And like for me, tired, hungry, grouchy, in, you know, bills to pay, stuff to do. And next thing you know, you're just snapping or saying things or, you know, just, and you're like, how can I act like that as a Christian? How can I offend the people that I say I love? Well, you know why? Because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. You know that they, we're sinners, right? Well, how is it said? We're sinners not because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And I think we forget about that. Forgiveness is everything because we need forgiveness every single day. And this is what, in fact, if you had to, if I asked you to sum up this entire Bible, 66 books, Genesis to Revelation, or to sum up your faith with one word or your relationship with God, what would it be? You know, we think of, oh, love. Yeah, okay, love, that's good. But how? Love got to be demonstrated. Oh, grace. Yeah. God's riches. Okay, grace. Okay, I understand that. But you know what? For me in my life, and the older that I get in the Lord, it's simply forgiven. When I'm about to die, we're going to die, well, the rapture might happen, but there's going to be, and I've been at the bedside of people, but when, just think, I was just thinking about, I don't know if, because I'm so scared with my new job of machine operator, I think I'm going to die every time. You're getting these containers, like, I don't know, it's like 2 in the morning, I'm like, oh, Lord, help me, please. You know, I'm serious, I'm not even kidding. Thought I was going to die, it's so scary. But you start thinking to yourself, what is the last, what would be what the last thought or the last word or what sense of security do you need to have that peace, the assurance, and just to be forgiven? That's all I want to know. Whether the Raiders win 17 Super Bowls in a row, it's not going to make a difference when you're about to die. You know what I mean? Your paycheck or your house mortgage or what drama's going on. It's, am I forgiven? Because I want to be right with the Lord. And so forgiveness is everything. That's how we enter those doors. It's the legs that we stand on every single moment of every day. And so let's look at Ephesians. And you know, that's pretty much the theme in the Bible, is God's love, his redemption, bringing us back, right? Because we've been separated from sin. And that's the whole point of marriage to become one flesh, picture of Christ in the church. How is he going to get two people back when it's been severed through a, so great an offense that it literally cost somebody's life? How is that going to bring two people together? Well, it does. It does, and it does all the time. Forgiveness is everything. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just kind of continue where, you know, Pastor Jake was in chapter 5, but we'll pick this up in chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And this is our one of our key verses here. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore," remember Pastor Jake's teaching on this, "be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love," this is key, "as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." You know, you've been taught in the book of Ephesians, right? It's much like the book of Colossians. And the first two chapters, like Pastor Bill and many teachers teach it, it's the wealth of the believer. It's like your spiritual portfolio. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and what Paul is trying to explain to the Ephesians, just like with the Romans, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and entrusted him for the forgiveness of sin and believed that he rose again from the dead, that you were forgiven, and you entered into this born-again relationship, many times the believers were ignorant of all the spiritual blessings that they had through their faith. And so Ephesians, the first two chapters, and I'm sure you've probably read it, or please read it over, because the first two chapters are your spiritual portfolio. These are your benefits for believing in Jesus. And you're going to hear in him, by him, and through him, adoption, inheritance, redemption. That's all you're going to see in the first two chapters, in him, by him, and through him, all through believing in Jesus. So the first two chapters are the wealth or your spiritual portfolio, or sometimes when you get hired, right, they're going to give you the HMSA folder or the Kaiser folder or whatever. And sometimes when you're about to retire or whatever, I don't even know the kind of benefits I get. Hey, James, go get eyeglasses or whatever. And a lot of times they get you a portfolio and you look and go, oh, wow. I get all this stuff, you know, that, you know, I'm entitled to because of whatever job or whatever else you get, or your citizenship, whatever. Like, well, as a citizen of God in heaven, you read Ephesians 1 and 2, and it's like 20-some blessings in that. And then when it comes to chapters 3 and 4, it's the wealth, it's the walk. Okay, how am I going to apply those spiritual blessings? Because I'm good. I'm redeemed, right? I've been adopted as a son. I've been forgiven. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been bestowed on me. I've been transferred out of darkness into light. All these blessings. So I'm good. I'm secure in my relationship with the Lord. And now Paul, as he gets into chapters 3 and 4, now he says, okay, now James, you apply it. This is how you apply it. But you apply it from the basis of grace, that you're good. You're forgiven. Now I'm going to instruct you how to use that in a practical way in your other personal relationships. And that's important to know. Because forgiveness is everything, right? Number one, because we are forgiven personally. That's why forgiveness is everything, right? Because we've been saved by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We'll kind of stay in the book of Ephesians a little bit. I'm using this 25-pound Bible. It's my wife's Bible because my eyes are getting older. I can't even see. Look how gigantic this Bible is. Look. Did you hear? Okay. Next time I'm going to bring on a weightlifting belt. It's going to be like 35 pounds. It's going to cover this whole pulpit. I'll be like, okay, now I can see. But Ephesians chapter 1. And, you know, we have, picking up in verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. But notice, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In chapter 2, verse 1, this is our condition before we were converted to Jesus Christ. It says, and you he made alive, this is one of my favorite passages, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, notice this, children of wrath, just as the others. Another famous but God. Whenever you see but, that's transition, like interception, going the other way. Totally opposite, 180. Whenever you see but God, you want to circle that or highlight that, because that means transition, going the other way. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is the purpose, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, you know, when I first got saved, and I know you probably know the acrostic for grace, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. So when we talk about forgiveness, the literal term for forgiveness is to be having a debt paid in full, or a sentence. If you're a criminal, they would condemn you or sentence you after you're convicted of a crime. And so according to the degree of how you violated the law or whatever, you know, that forgiveness, I mean, this is something we always say, oh yeah, in fact, the other day I was driving down, I was working night shift down at Kalailoa. Oh, I was rushing, getting down there. I was right by a truck, looked like one of the nice radar trucks. I was coming up, you know, I was down by Campbell Industrial. And it said, and I was thinking about this message, right? It said, God forgives. I was like, oh, right on. So I come pulling up by the guy over there. But then I looked closer on the sticker. It said something like, Bad Boys Club or whatever, God forgives. I'm like, oh, brother, I think his theology, I don't know what kind of theology is that, you know, that, oh, yeah, you can do anything you want to anybody you want. But you know what? The Lord forgives. I used to think that way. I used to think, oh, yeah, I got baptized when I was a baby and stuff like that. We know the Lord Jesus. You know, we do the cross before we jump in Makapu or something. You know what I mean? We did all the religious. I went to assembly. I went to that church. I tried that, did that. But then I'm doing things that are totally contrary. Obviously, I didn't know what the meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness, you see, is a cost. Somebody paid for somebody else. And this is what Paul is writing to the Ephesians. You've been purchased. This is how much God loves you and I. He sent his only son. We heard this, but it cost God everything. This wasn't a simple matter of sending his son into the world like, oh, that's why Jesus suffered. Suffered. Amazing. To demonstrate to us how ugly our sin is. And there's no way anybody, no matter how good you are, no matter what color your skin, no matter what you think you are, when you die, okay, if you are not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll be separated from God forever. Not because of your sins, because of your unbelief in God's gift of redemption. That's the gospel. So forgiveness, you got to understand, it's a cost. It's a cost. And the way, you know, and so in the context of marriage and drama and forgiveness and all this kind of stuff, I believe in my heart the reason why, right, the reason why we get drama even in the church, and we shouldn't, is because we forget this. We forget that, you know what? James, you have been forgiven so much. It cost the death of God's son. And you think of Jesus. He was beautiful, awesome, perfect in every way. The word redemption actually means to be purchased as a ransom. You talk about human trafficking. They have a lot of human trafficking. The Bible predicts that. But back here, they had a lot of human trafficking. They understood it. They had slaves in the Roman Empire. They had people who would stand up and they would bid on people's lives, even children. And you know the whole story of Hosea, right? She was a prostitute. And God told the prophet to marry the prostitute who's been with all the guys in the town. And he had to go and purchase her publicly. But that was an illustration of what God would go through with the nation Israel committing their harlotry of adultery, that even though they were used and abused, and just think about that, remember when I was younger, who was the ones that got around, you know, after a while when they get older, oh man, you know, she don't look like she was when she was 17. I don't want anything, definitely don't want to marry somebody like that. But when you're younger, you fool around, whatever, you know what I mean, like Hosea's wife. But Hosea did. He purchased her back. And that was God saying, no matter what you've done, no matter how used and abused, you know what? There's going to come a day where you're going to be want to come back home. And you know what? I love you so much. In my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm going to purchase you back. Redemption. A price has been given. So forgiveness is everything. So for us, in order for us to give forgiveness, I think it's really important to understand. And this is the beauty of Christianity, or any relationship, right? Is I'm full of joy when I'm what? Secured the most. When you're good with God, when you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God, no height, nor depth, nor angels and principalities and demons. There's no condemnation in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. No separation in Romans chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. When I know that when I'm, if this gigantic, 50,000 whatever can falls on me right now, or these telephone poles in the middle of the night, I can know that, you know what, Lord? I'm secure in your love. I'm going to see you. My sins are forgiven. Not because of what I've done, because everything comes back to his grace in the cross. And you see, when you're secure, and wherever you go, whether you be in traffic, when we get up, we talk about two shall become one, and we're all like super close, and we all are at ease together. And we are, we're 32 years? We've been together from seventh grade, but we had our ups and downs. I mean, our son is here, he's 34. I didn't want to get married. I was only like 19, 20 years old. We had broken lives. But when you look back, right, it's like, what was I going to say? It's like, I forget what I was going to say here. But the thing is, this is the thing, is as you get older, right, and you have kids, and we have five kids, now we get grandkids, and your work, especially in Hawaii, the pace of life just to survive is, I don't know about you, we're all just making it, right? That's amazing when you come and we worship. You're so tired from the week. You get house, I don't know how some of you do it. I'm doing laundry. I got to go shop some, working this, that, cutting. I just cut the grass. There's like, you're so, wiped out that you don't always spend the time to cultivate, even if you've been married or grew up with somebody from 14 years old. In fact, you start heading the opposite way because you don't take the time. And then what happens is like, but what the Lord has shown us, Didi and I, is that, although you might spend time, right? I don't know couple hours or whatever in the evening or in the morning, but the majority of your life you spent alone when you think about it. When you're driving in traffic from Kapahulu to Barbers Point at like 5 o'clock, it's like, man, people live out here, right? It's mean traffic, We're coming back 5 o'clock in the morning, like, get on the freeway at 5 o'clock in the morning from out there. I'm like, you stuck. It's like, but we spend so much time either in traffic or at work. We need to feel what I found in my life is when I'm secure with the Lord, whether I'm in traffic or wake up or I'm in the yard, he indwells in you. You see? He's forgiven us for our sins so he can enter into our life. He's closer than my wife, my kids, or anybody. He knows my thoughts before I even think them. And I don't know about you, but that gives me great security. Whether I'm in the middle of the night screaming, oh, help me, Lord, please, or all these insecurities or all my failures. You know what? Because of what Jesus did in the redemption, I can come boldly to the throne of grace 24/7. And I know that God, he's my heavenly Father. He loves me. Even if I've blown, I can go to him all the time. I can't even go to my wife all the time like that. And I know that he's for me and not against me. And when you have that security as I'm getting older and that, it gives me an encouragement to love my wife as Christ loved the church and love my kids. I'm much more gracious. Because I'm good with the Lord. I'm more gracious with other people. But number one is you got to be secured in the grace of God and the forgiveness of sins for yourself before we can forgive anybody else. And the more that you are secure in what God has done, and read Ephesians chapter 1, in all that you have in Christ, oh, you can forgive anybody else, you know what I mean? It's like winning the lottery. I get $17 billion in my pocket. It's like, yeah, you know, I don't like to do that, but it's like, man, my mortgage is paid. I don't know about you guys, but if we get big mortgage, big bills, tuition, it's like, oh, gosh. If somebody said, can you imagine, it's all, oh, what? That burden is lifted? So God wants us to be secure. Forgiveness is everything because we've been saved by grace because we're sinners. And you know what? As much as we try, and some of us, you know, there's no justification for sin in your marriage. Or as, you know, Pastor Ruben and Pastor Jake's been going, immorality, pornography, fornication, adultery, all these sins that manifest, but you got to understand, okay? You're a sinner, so you are prone to sin. Sometimes I think when our spouse or our kids fail, our husband, our wife, and or some brother or sister in the church, we're all shocked, like, oh gosh, I can't believe he did that. Or she, I can't believe, how can you do this to me? How can you do this to me? You know, you've been in those arguments. After all I've done for you, how many of you have been there? What, all the bitterness? And after everything I've been through and everything, you can do this to me. Well, I'm going to show you. That's how the drama and Satan comes in, and that's how we have murder, stabbing, all the stuff. It's sin, unforgiveness. You know why? Because in our minds, right, either we think we're in the position of God, like we're so perfect and we could never fail, right? Or we have that person in our life, our expectations are unrealistic. You got to know that your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter, even for us, our cutest little granddaughters, they're the best. They're sinners, okay? That's the sin nature that they have. And we live in a world that's constantly feeding that sinful nature. It's called the world. It's an antichrist world. And the devil is real, and he is the perfect coordinator. He coordinates your flesh, the world, and he knows how to get to you. And he knows how to get to me. And he knows how to destroy homes. And he knows how to destroy marriages. And he knows how to destroy children so that they're scarred for life. You know many people that are scarred from because when they're as little? That's exactly. And then we try to blame this and blame this person. Oh, blame this. No, you know what it is? It's sin, the devil, and the world. But when we're secure in the Lord, right, and we understand, like Paul, he writes to the Romans. I'm just going to share with you a little bit about this battle of our nature. In Romans chapter 7, most of you know it well. This is the great apostle Paul speaking, giving this great instruction on justification by faith. But he says, we know that the law is spiritual, Romans 7:14, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but here it is, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want to. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want to, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, like all the teachings on marriage and all the SMO. Oh, praise the Lord, awesome teachings. And they are, we got so blessed. We're so inundated with great Bible teaching. And I'm like, yes. But then I struggle when I go home, you know, and I have to apply it. There's this conflict going on in us. So he says, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. And he dovetails into Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But he's talking about the reality of the battle. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes when we fail to forgive our spouse, or when you're going to learn as you get older with your kids in different stages, teenage years, college years, and now our kids are having kids and married, you know, and even as a parent or kids with, you know, dealing with your parent, having a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness for some of the things that your parents, even especially Christian parents or religious parents. But I think a lot of it is we don't understand the context of, yes, I'm secure in my relationship with the Lord. By his blood, I've been redeemed. But in the home, when it actually comes, when I'm offended, especially with somebody that loves me, you know, I forget these truths. I don't know about you. I don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm redeemed, the propitiation, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Right? Some people just fall out of bed, have no devotional, and then go to work, get all kinds of jobs. That is hard to believe. You know, it's like you bring it on yourself. But we see here that we fail to see, in light of God's forgiveness for me, right, is the potential in my kids, in my daughter, in my son, in my granddaughter, in my husband, in my wife, in my boss, in the neighbor, in the pastor, in the worship leader, we have a propensity to sin. And I think sometimes in the Christian church, we have this thing that, oh, no, no, we're all good. We're all good, you know. And then as a pastor, then you sit, right? And sometimes by the time people come into counseling, it's almost done. There's so much anger, so much hatred over so many years, so much unforgiveness. And how many times when I used to be a pastor, people would come in here because the judge told them, you got to come in. You know, they give you the last ditch effort with kids. Okay, Pastor James, we just want to, okay, we went to go see Pastor James. Well, he's the easy guy to see because, you know, Pastor Ed, then they're going to put you on the stuff. James, you just going to sign the paper and say, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Nah. But no, I'd come in here and say, oh, no, this is a court order. We got to go through the final counseling before we get. And I'm looking at, and they can't even see each other. And you're like, you guys used to be in love. I mean, what happened? You get kids, you cannot just. They don't not secure in what Jesus Christ has done for them, right? And they've been so hurt because your expectation is, I can't believe my spouse just did that to me. Or I can't believe my kid just did that. After all that I've done for them, that they turn around and did this to me. And you're so disappointed. And that's real, right? But Jesus said, as we're in Ephesians, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Does you always, you know, filter it through the word of God, filter it through what he's done for us. And does God treat you like that? You know, I can't believe, James, you did this again and again and again. I'll forgive you this time, but I don't know about the next time. Or I'll forgive, but I'm never going to forget. I'm never going to forget how you hurt me. You know, that's reality. But when I go back to my vertical relationship with the Lord, and I understand that his son was crucified for me in while I was yet a sinner, Christ demonstrated his love and he died for me. How much more now shall we be saved from the wrath of God, you know, through his blood? When I think of, when so everything has to be filtered with your relationship with the Lord. So if you're struggling with forgiveness, and it's a reality, because we get hurt by our kids, because we have expectations, which are good. You should have standards and expectations, and we should have the law. What Paul was saying here is not bringing down the law just because he's battling in the flesh. No, the law is good. He concurs with his mind. This is the word of God. This is the character of God. Yea and amen. That's how we're supposed to live. That's how God is. That's how Jesus gave the example. Right? He's not saying, oh no, you know, don't do it. No, that's always the standard. But what I'm saying is people are going to fail. You and I will fail because we're sinners by nature. And when we fail, or somebody closest to us hurts us and they fail, it's how we respond to that. That's why Paul is writing to the Ephesians about, you know, chapters 1 and 2, like all the things you have in him, by him, and through him, your spiritual portfolio in Christ. Now when he gets into the nitty-gritty of your walk, right now he's saying, now I want you to forgive one another even as Christ forgave you. We forget. And we say, oh, yeah, I'm never going to forget what you did to me. And you know, that might be true. Because we're here. And you know what? That's another thing. If you're the one offended and we got hurt, we got pain, it's okay because we're human beings. Jesus knows. He was betrayed. He was innocent. He was tortured. He was rejected. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was in a Mamertine prison before his head got chopped off, writing 2 Timothy, he said, there was a time where even all the believers, he stood alone, they deserted me. He said, may it not be counted against them. You know, people can fail, but our Lord will never fail. But I think it is important to know that because there's a propensity of sin, it should encourage me as a husband to love my wife as Christ loved the church. It should be encourage me as a wife that I want to encourage my husband in his leadership or walking with the Lord. How many times, I don't even want to say it, but it's like, I would venture to say a majority, even Christian couples, they probably pray together, I don't know, other than dinner time or a crisis situation. But I'd say there's very few that actually get together. And Dee Dee and I, we've been doing this, I don't know, for the last 2 days. I would say this last year, because of her health situation, all that, and you know, now we got grandkids. And anyway, we have been praying. Even when I was in the ministry, we never prayed like this. Always busy. Even as pastors, even in the ministry, worship leader. You'd be amazed. Oh, get it, we gotta go to church, you know, we'll pray on the phone. But I'm talking about when you understand all that God has done for you, right? And you can worship and appreciate, because that's how we remember, right? Our redemption and what Christ has done, and we get secured. We, even in our insecure, we pour out to the Lord, right? And we just thank him for loving us. And then we're able to pray together, and then we're able to discuss things and resolve all these issues. You know, it's kind of like when I do the laundry, I can't understand. Our washer dryer is like a community. It's like a laundrette or whatever. We just have so many people in our house. But every time I get, and you probably like this too, right? You doing the drying and you pull out the filter and see all the lint. You're like, they did it again. Nobody went clean the lint. Why am I the only one that cleans this? Every time I get so upset. But you know, that's just how kids are and stuff like that. So you clean it in, you clean it all up, you put it in. And you know, and you just get reminded, it's just sometimes, right, there's a separation and the bitterness and the anger enters in through any relationship, whether it be with your kids or with your wife or your husband, kids or their parents. Sometimes it's not the huge sins like you think, adultery, or this, or that, or fornication. It's all the little lint. It's all the little sins. It's all the little offenses that we accumulate being sinners on a daily basis that we never resolve because we don't want time. We don't have time. We're so busy. We got to go to church. We got to do this. We got to go that. And all the little offenses, especially guys, right, because we're insensitive, we've been learning, is that, you know, we offend our wife by, we don't even know we're going to offend them. something we said, but that's why it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way as to a weaker vessel, co-heir of the grace of God. So while your prayers may not be hindered, your wife is not like the guys down at the docks, James. You cannot just expect her to emotionally deal with things, or when you say something that offends her, or just, she get over it, you know what I mean? We're so insensitive. And sometimes you need to know, or with your kids, I'm learning more with my kids. As a dad, I've said some horrendous things. I thought I was joking around. And my, you know, in kids, in their relationship in the home, and probably you've been there, you know what, you're never going to talk back to your dad or your mom or whatever. You know, you're not going to do that. Some kids, they internalize it. But you've offended them. You don't even know you're going to offend them. And then you wonder why. Oh, how come when they get 18, they're out of here, or they run away, or they're cruising with the wrong group of guys? Hey, you grew up in the church. How come you don't act like this? You know what? There might have been offenses like lint storing up over the years. They come home just like a guy that cannot stand seeing his wife. He comes and is like, I don't even want to see her. It's all this bitterness, all this hatred. Next thing you know, the enemy gets inside. You don't even, and I've saw it, you know, you know, through counseling, you don't even want to look at your spouse. It's like, I can't even stand to see him. He makes me sick, or she makes me sick. Like, how much anger and hate you get like that? It's all that lint building up. Or some kind of kids, they don't like come home. For what various reasons, some, they never come home. But if you kind of look back, it's because there's been some unresolved unforgiveness and offense, and it could have been very little at the time, but it started to build up like that lint in the dryer till it causes a huge fire. That's why you have to keep short accounts. Remember in Matthew where Jesus was talking about prayer, that modeled prayer? Every time you pray is what? Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who has trespassed against us. That's every day. So forgiveness is everything, because obviously we've been saved by grace, but we are commanded by God to forgive. It's not a suggestion. Because he has gone through so much to make us right with him, restoring that relationship that can never be broken. That's the security and the joy. That's why we're singing, right? That's why we sing praises. Whether I had a good week, good last hour, bad last hour, if I'm honest with God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I get this anger, this lust, this, all this, look, Father, forgive me, help me. You know, this guy would cut me off, or my auntie treat me like, you know, it can get really deep. Hey, this person suing, you know, Lord, help me, please, Father, help me so much. I'm so angry right now. But we can come boldly to him, and he's there to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, it says in 1 John 1:9. But that's so important, right? Because after that, he commands us to forgive. And this is what he was saying here in Ephesians and in so many other places, right? So we're commanded to forgive. We've got to hurry up here. Ooh, 60. So Ephesians 5 goes on to say, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Notice this, for a sweet-smelling aroma. Everything is as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us. Remember that parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 18 of the unmerciful servant. You know, when you, there's some passages that God, it's sobering warnings of unforgiveness if we don't forgive. I mean, it's heavy. And you're like, Lord, that's so harsh, right? But there's a reason. Because again, it all comes down to that we have been forgiven so much. Remember, Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18, and Peter came to him in verse 21 and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him, up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So already you do the calculation. What he's saying, it's countless, countless. Therefore, the kingdom of God, so he's going to give a parable. A parable is an earthly illustration depicting a heavenly truth. It's to throw it alongside, to understand, give clarity to the truth he's teaching the people in a way that the people, the common people, would understand. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is the largest sum of currency back at that time, the heaviest weight of gold. 10,000, I mean, you're talking an insurmountable debt here. You're like, if you had a mortgage loan and you make $75,000 a year, and your mortgage loan, you just bought a $75 million house, you know, something like a property or a business, and your monthly payment is just so enormous, there's no way. You can work seven jobs, you're still not going to pay the mortgage. You're still not going to pay the loan to the bank. This is the kind of situation in this parable this servant was in. 10,000 talents was just, it's just unbearable. It's so insurmountable, this debt. In verse 25, it says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. Because at that time, they could literally do this. If you owed somebody money and you couldn't pay, they would just, you pay with your life. You come work for me. You got family and stuff, I take your family too until you pay off this debt. That's how brutal society was back then. So this debt was so enormous, he couldn't pay. And his master said, you know what? I'll take your wife and your children and everything that you got until a payment be made. You satisfy that enormous debt. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant, notice, the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. So brother is begging, just thinking, I'll do anything, please, my family, anything. I'll work. I'll do whatever it takes, please. Give me a chance. And he said, the master, he is moved with compassion. Compassion is love in action. It's not just pity, like, oh, poor thing, those guys over there in Ukraine or whatever. I feel sorry for them. No, compassion is like, Pastor, carry them. Like, go. You care enough to go do something about it. It's not just waha talk. So this compassion that this master had, he was so moved. He said, you know what? Although this is an enormous debt that you owe me, and however you got in that debt was your own folly. He was moved. He said, I'm going to forgive you and release him. This is where that forgiveness comes from. I'm going to release him, and he forgave him the entire debt. Verse 28 says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, far less than what he owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. But this is the thing. Verse 30 says, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt, the debtor's prison. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And they came and told their master all that what had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant. You wicked, that means evil, like you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, until he should pay all that was due to him. And this is the truth that Jesus was getting at. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. It's a command. It's serious. Because unforgiveness and bitterness towards somebody else, no matter what, again, and the offenses, they all vary to a degree, especially when it's done in our home. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. There needs to be forgiveness. And no matter what you've done to your wife or to your husband, to your kids, God sees it all. He knows it all. Everything is naked and open before him. He sees it all. He can forgive anything. But it takes truth. You have to come to him. You got to want to be forgiven. You cannot make excuses. Oh, she made me like this, or he made me like this, or my kids like this, or my dad like this, or my mom like this. I used to be like that, always giving an excuse. We live in a generation. Oh, I did this because of this, or, hon, because you did this to me, and I just wanted to react. You know, it's like, tit for this. Forgiveness is commanded. It's a serious, I mean, you say, oh, no, when I die, I go in heaven, even though I have all this bitterness against him or her or them or whatever, or my dad or my mom. That's why I don't like go to church. That's why I don't like do this, you know. It says here, if you have unforgiveness, my heavenly Father will not forgive you. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And you might say, oh, but you don't know, Pastor James, what my wife did to me. You don't know what my kids, what my husband has done to me. And I don't, but God does. And you know what? For our own sake, we can forgive. You say, I don't know how, right? But I know when we look vertically at our relationship with Jesus Christ, through the redemption, through the propitiation, through his blood, he gives us that ability supernaturally to forgive. Doesn't mean you have to end up being abused your whole life. You got to stay with this right now. But in your heart, because their sin can be forgiven, forgiveness actually releases like two prisoners, right? It sets you free to move on in your relationship with the Lord, because that's what I value more than anything. When I go to work, when I go home, or whatever I do, wherever I'm at, to know that God lives in me, I love that relationship. I love, that's an awesome, I don't want to hinder, that's everything. My wife, these other, I mean, you know, I can only do so much, but you can forgive and it'll set you free to move on to, and it brings healing. It allows God, the Holy Spirit, to work. And in our church, there's a lot of testimonies of that. Many of you know the testimony of Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. I was just listening to that the other day again. You know, Corrie Ten Boom and her family, they were hiding Jewish people from the Nazis, and they were caught. Her entire family was sent to the concentration camp, where her father, the mother died, her sister and her. And they were in this one concentration camp. Her sister died. There's fleas all. I mean, it's just horrible of horrible. I mean, you know, beyond words. And Corey's sister died, but one of the things was that when they would line up all the young Jewish girls or all the, you know, godly girls, and as they take a shower, the captains, the German captains would come in with all the naked little girls, women, naked, take all the ones out every day, have them shower, stripped down naked, and the officers just raping them with their eyes every day. Humiliate you. It's to humiliate you psychologically, in every which way, the concentration camps, the horrors of it. It's satanic. Corrie, she survived, obviously, the concentration camp, and she's, you know, one of the greatest saints ever, but she was speaking about forgiveness. I don't know if it was a revival meeting or was at a church, and this is in Europe. She was speaking on forgiveness, and at the ending of forgiveness, that German officer that used to watch her take a bath and everything came up after the service and stretched out his hand and said, Corey, isn't it good to know the grace of God? And she said, when she looked up and saw his face, she was shocked. And she had all this anger, and just, and she said in her heart, she just was speaking about for forgiveness. And here this German officer has the audacity to come after the service and say, isn't it good to know the grace of God and to forgive Corey? And she said she couldn't, it was so hard for her to get her hand to extend forgiveness. And she cried out to the Lord, Lord, help me. And he did. As she obeyed the Lord to forgive, she said she extended her hand and she just supernaturally sensed the grace and the love and the power of the Holy Spirit working through her forgiveness to this man. That's why when we struggle, right, I encourage people, you know, hey, listen to testimonies of other people. Go to one of the pastors. If you're struggling about forgiving your mom, your dad, the abuses, the betrayal, and it, go to the staff and ask, okay, I've been praying, I'm struggling, because there's a time of healing, and just say, I'm really struggling, or like tonight, I'm really struggling with this, with my son, or with my boss, or whatever it might be. And you're having a hard time dealing with it on your own. That's what fellowship is for. You go to the pastoral staff or you come to the women leaders. And then you, what they'll do, they can give you resources. First of all, you have a prayer team around you that will encourage you in the scriptures and encourage you in the truths in God's word that you can feel secure again in what God says. And you can go to them constantly for support. But they can also offer resources like just reading or listening. Now, there's a lot of testimonies. I've heard some amazing testimonies of forgiveness that would make my world like, oh my God, I feel so ashamed that I was all upset about that. When you listen to what other brothers and sisters are going through right now in the persecuted church in the world, it makes our drama look so small. But anyway, so we're going to end off with, so why forgiveness is everything? Well, number one, because we need forgiveness and we're sinners. We've been saved by grace. But secondly is that we're commanded by God. And then, well, I have 5 points here. I'll just give one here. Is we just skip to reason number five. When we forgive, as God commands us to forgive, in light of our relationship and how much we're forgiven, do you know that that's, you're never more like Jesus himself and your witness is never more powerful than when you forgive? Think of it. You might know all the scriptures and Bible to everybody at work, and you know all of this and that, belong to all the ministry groups and give all your money. That's all, that stuff is good. And people at work, they'd be like, oh, right on, James, you're a good guy like that. Oh, yeah, you found the Lord, right on, that's good for you and all that stuff. But you know what is powerful? The most powerful spiritual weapon is when they can see you or when somebody that has offended you or a child. See, forgiveness, it brings reconciliation or gives that hope where God can bring it. And when you forgive someone and other people know the offense that hurt you and you can forgive like Jesus, that's when, guess what, you bring God so much glory, because that's just like what Jesus does for us. And you remember Stephen, the first martyr in the church, in Acts chapter 7, they were stoning him alive. Do you remember his last words? Was, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Like, Stephen, how can you have no forgiveness? These people, your own people, they're murdering you. Jesus on the cross, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the most powerful witness. And you and I, when we choose to forgive, you have no idea what God is doing to those that are near you, those you've been witnessing. Because there's no other religion in the world, there's no other philosophy than what we have in Jesus Christ, our redemption. And it is powerful. So that's about as far as we're going to get, obviously, tonight. So what do I have here? So keep short accounts. If you're a family, you're not going to do this every day, but at least once a week, come together with your kids. I would recommend, we used to do it, we haven't done it in a long time, but have a communion set at home in the living room. Just a simple communion set. Doesn't have to be like all koi and all gold and that. Just, hey, simple. And when there's, you can sense when you go, right, personally in a marriage or with your kids, you can sense the tension because bitterness, a root of bitterness, springing up, defiling many. You want to know why they answer you real smart or they get attitude, constant attitude, all the time attitude, or your wife is like always chirping at you, or the husband is, you know, if you take a deeper look down in what's happened, I bet you there's unresolved unforgiveness in there. And Satan, that's where he does his greatest. That's why the Bible says, be angry and do not sin and don't give the devil an opportunity. How many adulteries go on? How many murders go on? Because of bitterness. Because of bitterness. It started out so small. Next thing you know, you're like, I don't even like go home. And Satan will bring somebody in your life. All of a sudden, oh, this person thinks I'm all that. Well, my husband never treated me like this. Well, my wife never treated me like this. And that's how, and you wonder, how in the world did you get from here to over there? Well, I tell you what, it's bitterness, unresolved unforgiveness, and letting the front door open to the devil. Or why is my kid, how did my kid get into that deep of draw or whatever with that crowd? Well, maybe an overbearing, hardcore dad that just kept driving them and driving them, and they developed a real bitter heart. They never let come home. That's why it's important. Forgiveness protects us from the devil. And when you watch YouTube, whatever, I see all this. I'm all into the Idaho murders and this kind of murder. I get all kinds of stuff, all bad kinds of stuff. But really, when you look all down all this mayhem and stuff, it's like, man, it's because they don't know the Lord. They don't know forgiveness. The person that committed this crime, there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of bitterness. That's why it's so important for us to, you know, Jesus said, even before you worship, you, if you think you have something against a brother or sister, you should resolve that. Then you come and worship to the Lord. Take care of the priority. If the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart to say, hon, you know, I'm so sorry. Or if you've been offended, it's so important that, you know, they're in the garden naked and unashamed, that you can go to your spouse or you can go to your kids. I had to do this so many times and say, I'm sorry. I don't even know why you're all upset with me, but I know something is wrong, the tension. What did I do? And then they'll tell me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But our pride, we forget of all of our spiritual blessings, how much God loves us. Keep short accounts. If you have to, dads, be the spiritual leader, do that communion, have communion. I had to do that before. It's good. Do it with your wife or your son or daughter. They may still be upset with you, but you know what? For the rest of their life, they're going to remember that. They'll say, you know what? When I was 17, my dad was tripping out. I was having all kinds of drama with him. The bugger. He asked for forgiveness. We had communion on the table, you know? I remember that. I remember that. The Holy Spirit can work. Keep short accounts. Pray together. And always pray with the awareness that, you know what? Galatians chapter 6, it says, restore someone who has fallen in a trespass in the church with meekness and gentleness, lest you too fall. What Galatians is saying is, don't think it can it cannot happen to you. So always in the back of my mind, I want to protect my wife. I want to protect my husband spiritually, right? I want to make sure that we're at oneness in the home. Because I know as soon as that Satan, as soon as we let unresolved issues come, Satan is going to come in. And it might not be right away, but I guarantee you, you watch 10 years from now, he's going to wreak havoc. He's going to wreak all kind of havoc. Condemnation, separate, all kind of drama. So keep short accounts. And know this, God loves you so much. He sent his son. Think about the crucifixion. And Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And you know what, this world, and I really believe when we do those things, and again, if you need women's fellowship, men's fellowship, you're still struggling, get to people that can direct you to resources and testimonies. I heard Pastor Damien Kyle, I don't know if you remember, he is one of my favorite teachers, Calvary Chapel Modesto. He gave his testimony, I was in shock, literally shock. This guy looked like the most awesome, grew up in the church, great, intelligent, expositor of God's word. He shared his testimony, and it's amazing that he even, it is amazing. Damien Kyle, try to find out. But there's so many. So many. God can forgive. I was just listening to a testimony. This Wahini, she was a porn actress. And I came across, and she shared how God saved her. It was amazing. I was blown away. And she was blown away in the love of God. And she grew up in a Christian home. That was amazing. And she did so many things to her body. She made, 15,000 a month doing stuff. And it was all little stuff, Next thing you know, you're doing things. You're taking joy. You're with men. You're in Hollywood. She said God could never forgive her. And somebody on a movie set asked her, another Christian, do you know the Lord? She said, oh, you have no idea who you're talking to. He said, I know. I know who we're talking to. God still loves you. You know, she repented. She was cleansed. She was washed. She gave up all relationships with men for a long time. Got discipled. A beautiful story of forgiveness. There's nothing that God can't forgive you or anyone else. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much. I know we didn't get over everything, but help us, Lord. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us so that our lives will bring that sweet-smelling aroma of, pikake or pukenikeni or gardenia. It just smells so good. It smells so good to you. It gives you glory, Lord. Because we know that forgiveness in our home, where there's grace and there's mercy, there's the work of your Holy Spirit to heal us. And we thank you, Lord, that when you begin a good work, you're faithful to complete it. And we're like a project. We're an ongoing project, Lord. We have good days, we have bad days, we struggle with our flesh, with the devil, with the world. But Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And so we ask you, Lord, to cleanse us and wash us of our sins if we're judgmental, if we're harboring any unforgiveness, or as we take communion, Lord, as we sing a song, may your Holy Spirit just reveal attitudes in our heart that we can get right with you and get right with one another. And we pray, Lord, we pray for not just all the marriages and the homes, but all the singles, that they would be secure in you first. Because really, there is no greater love than this, than you laying down your life for us. We're never going to find a greater love from any individual on this earth more than we have, Father, with you through Jesus Christ. Help us to be secure in that. Help us to grow in that. And help us to trust you that you'll bring the right person into our life to complete whatever you want to do in our life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.